Romans chapter 8, we read, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved." Hope. Hope. Hope in Christ. Friday is over. The hopeless, helpless, and fear the followers of Jesus were suffering through are conquered by the Sunday resurrection of the Son of God, and there is hope. He who was crucified and buried lives again. Jesus lives, and Christ in us gives us hope. Let's pray together. Father, we come together this morning celebrating the reality of a risen Christ. All that was accomplished on the cross, all the pain and suffering Jesus went through for us, he is now alive again. And he is by your side, and he is in control. And Father, may we see in your word the reality of the resurrection and the hope we have in Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday. At least once a year we focus on the birth of Christ. And at least once a year we focus on the death and burial of Christ. And once a year, at least, we focus on the resurrection of Jesus. We focus on the risen Christ, the risen Christ. We do not pray to a dead person. We do not serve a corpse. We do not worship one who cannot hear us. And we certainly do not place our hope in a man who is dead in the ground. No, our focus must always be on a risen Christ. In our hearts and in our minds, we need to focusing on Jesus who is alive and active. My prayer for all of you today and for me is to be continually focused on the risen Christ who is our true hope. He is the only, the one and only true light at the end of the tunnel. The resurrection of Jesus secures our hope two ways. In this passage, resurrection of Jesus secures our hope beyond this life. Beyond this life. And the resurrection of Jesus secures our hope to be like him. To be like him. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, page 961 in the little black pew Bibles, if you don't have one with you. And I really encourage you to turn to it because we're going to read a lengthy passage, probably the longest one I've read from the pulpit. So to keep you awake, make sure you turn with me and read it along with me. I'll give you time to find it. The studying of 1 Corinthians, we're doing that on Wednesdays. We're in chapter 11, so we haven't come to 15 yet. So if this passage grips you, and you want to dig deeper, we do welcome you to join us at any time. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Much is going on here in 1 Corinthians, and Paul is addressing in this chapter the conversation in the church of Corinth, which some were saying there is no resurrection. It was part of the conversation going on in the church. There is no resurrection of the dead. So Paul is going to address that. just as we would here at Country Bible Church. Follow along now as we look at chapter 15, verses 1 through 49. This is the very word of God. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is in me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by one man came death, by a man has come also resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God after destroying every rule, every authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him. Why? That God may be all in all. Otherwise, what do people mean by baptizing on behalf of the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized on their behalf? Why are we in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have Christ Jesus our Lord, I die every day. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as it is right, and do not go on sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. So is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have been born in the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. So much here. There's a lot here. And it's very encouraging, and I'm anxious to dig into this deeply on Wednesdays. But for today, let's begin with what's of first importance. Look all the way back into verse 3 with me. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. In verses 1 and 2, Paul says he is reminding them of the gospel that he has preached, in which they are being saved. So let's get this right. Let's get this right. Christ died for our sins, and he was buried, and he was raised on the third day. In our faith, we must believe these things. In our life, we must live these things. In our witness, we must testify to people what is first of importance. Paul says this was in accordance with the Scripture, and of first importance, and indeed it is. These gospel truths are truths we need to live. These are gospel truths we need to be ready to die for, as some in this world already are. And indeed, we need to hold fast to these truths in order to be saved. We ought to hold on to these with white knuckles in order to persevere through this life. Because believing and living these truths gives us true hope. Listen now, brothers and sisters. Following Jesus is not easy. Amen? Who hasn't heard the voice of our Lord call out, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Deny myself and suffer to follow Jesus. How do we persevere through this? How do we do it? When all of life's circumstances surround us and life gets really, really hard, how do we press on? Well, because of the love and grace of God, first of all. But all the while we press on, we focus on the risen Lord. Looking to our hope, always focusing and looking to our hope. The resurrection of Jesus secures our hope beyond this life. The resurrection of Jesus secures our hope beyond this life. Paul links the resurrection of Jesus to our resurrection from the dead. Look at it in verse 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. And there's more in verse 16. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has been not raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. And those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If Christ has not been raised, our faith is futile. We are in our sin, and the loved ones that died before us have perished. And then look at what Paul says about our hope if Jesus is still dead in the ground. Verse 19. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are a people most to be pitied. Why? Why would we be most to be pitied? Because all of our preaching and all of our faith and all of our suffering and all of our sacrifice and all of our enduring would be for nothing because we would perish. Jesus says, follow me all the way to heaven. I have gone to prepare a place for you. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And we do. We do that. We do that by looking at the hope of Jesus, the coming of Jesus and our glory. We look to that, and that motivates us, and it empowers us. And we press on, and we press on, and we see Jesus. And we have our trials, and we do have our trials. And we have the temptation that sin cries out to us, and we suffer, and work is hard, and relationships are hard, and sin screams out at us, and children are disobedient, and we press on, and we press on, and we look to Jesus. And he uses this to make us more like him. But some of these trials never go away. They do come and go, but some never go away. And they will be with us until we are with Jesus. Our health is bad, and we don't get better. Our minds aren't quite working the way they used to, and that won't get better. There is something in your life that tries you, and there is no end in sight. And it's hard, but we press on looking to Jesus in the coming glory. Because the suffering that will never end now will end in that day. And so goes the life of a follower of Jesus. But wait, what if there is no resurrection? Then there is no risen Jesus, and he is still dead. And all of these trials and temptations and sufferings I've experienced and I've battled through and suffered through, and Jesus isn't there, there is no resurrection, I will perish anyway, then I am to be most pitied. It was all for nothing. It was better to have eaten and drank and been merry. Verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each of us in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule, every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all of his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. The resurrection of Jesus secures our hope beyond this life. God has established a plan for his people. Death came through Adam. Life comes through Christ. Jesus was the first to be raised to life. We are next. Every rule, every authority and power will be destroyed. Christ will rule until every enemy is destroyed, including death. Make no mistake about it. Every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. Why? Why will this happen? Because the Creator and the King of the universe lives, and so will we. The resurrection of Jesus secures our hope beyond this life. Next, we'll look at the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus secures our hope to be like him. Our hope to be like him. Look at it with me. We'll start in verse 42. Let's actually, we can go down to 46. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man, Jesus, is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Verse 49. Just as we have been born the image of man, of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. Resurrected. We're to be resurrected and bear the image of the man of heaven. This is the hope of being like Jesus. This is the hope of being like Jesus. Turn to 1 John, towards the end of the Bible, and we're almost done. 1 John chapter 3. God tells us in his word what this hope accomplishes in us. What the hope of being like Jesus does in us. I believe I'm going to be like Jesus. That's my hope. I look to that. What does that do to me? What does that accomplish in me? Grab a hold and live in this hope, brothers and sisters. This is ordained for us because of the resurrection. 1 John 3, starting in verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. As we walk on the face of this earth as ambassadors in a foreign land, we will have trials and tribulations, I guarantee it, based on the authority of the Word of God. As we go through these trials, we need to look to the hope that God is using every single moment of every single day for us to become more like Jesus. This purifies us. And when we realize this, we begin to see trials and temptations and suffering as opportunities to grow. Because through them, we will become more and more like Jesus. We become more patient, and we become more understanding, and we become more loving. Our hearts start to mourn over sin. We despise sin. We hate sin. We become meek and humble. We forgive others. We make peace, and we speak the truth in love. We become more like Jesus from one degree of glory to another. And because Jesus lives, so will we live. And we will be like him, and we will be with him forever. The resurrection of Jesus secures our hope to be like him. So we go after Jesus. We do deny ourselves, and we do take up our crosses, and we follow him. And we do this by being devoted to him. We do this by being devoted to him and forming a singleness of focus, and that focus is on him and the hope that we have in him. We must focus on our risen Lord. We must see the true light at the end of the tunnel. Brothers and sisters, especially in trials where there is no end in sight, we must look to our true hope. There is a light, and it is our risen Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for your word. It's not an empty thank you. Father, we would not know these truths if you had not given them to us through your word. We thank you that we can trust your word. It is pure truth. So we rest in the reality that Jesus is alive, and we look to the hope of his coming. We look to the hope of being like him and with him forever. And I do pray, Father, that we grab a hold of that true hope, and that you use us then as we battle through this world as ambassadors to you. May our light shine in this dark world because we hold on to the hope of Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name.